Music's obviously played a huge part in your life, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's that. I think that is one of the most complex things I've ever had to choreograph, because of counting was impossible. It was one of those I had to choreograph to. You know, instead of, I couldn't count any of that, I was going, this is driving me nuts! A lot of it's counted in 12s and stuff, and it's just a nightmare because of the phrasing. But loved it. I just fell in love with that piece.
And normally, of course, when you choreograph, you're choreographing for a story, whereas with a piece like that, you're creating a story.
Yeah, but the story for me was already there, because it's about two people dueling with their best swords, you know, if you like. You know, and then it became, once that was clear in my head, I found the music easy, because I would just go to, you know, one of the dancers, because they knew they were going to be doing the legato lines, and dancing that part of the movement. And then when they were battling, it was rather easy to do in the end, oddly. But I think that's all you need, is a really good bloody hook to like sling it on, and then off you go.
But of course, music, also for all of us, the whole point of the series is, these are a few of my favourite songs. Of course, we've also got one of your very personal songs here, Ricky Lee.
Yeah, Ricky Lee Jones. I don't know whether many people know her in this country, but I love her. I just love the ease of her voice. She's just mellow and gorgeous. But the reason why this song means so much is, you know, if you've ever broken up with anyone, you know, it's one of those slash wrist songs. I will miss your company. I love it. But I remember falling asleep to it, and it's when CDs first came out. And it was on repeat the whole night. So any wonder it's locked in. It's one of those that you're at a window and it's raining and you just split up with someone and you're just crying and looking out to Never Never Land, thinking, what the fuck am I going to do now?
And this is the song.
I'll put this on. Suicide music, I'm so sorry. But I do love it.
The great thing is, you're not going to have to use that line ever again. You have the best line in your life now.
I'm very lucky, because I've got my lovely grantee. I don't know where
he is.
He's
in the audience tonight.
He's here. Yes, and he's gorgeous.
Of course, songs of Love on the Rocks happens all the time, and that, of course, is also one of your penultimate song, Neil Diamond, Love on the Rocks.
Well, Neil Diamond, of course, I did an audience with Neil Diamond, and I got to ask him a question, which I was thrilled about.
So the TV programme.
Yeah, the TV programme. And I've always been a fan, if you like, of his music, because my mum had an album called Hot August Night. And she used to play that to death. And it was the only time, really, because my father was a desperate alcoholic and abuser and all of that sort of stuff. But it was the only time we really, as children, saw her smile and be uplifted, you know, when she listened to Neil Diamond. You know, she used to love it, and we loved her for loving it. Yeah. And I suppose it being on the house the whole time had something to do with my love affair with his music. Also, what was that? Well, obviously, I've done Neil Diamond show, a compilation type show.
Brothers Close Love.
Yeah, Brother Love's Travelling Salvation show, which was intense, and race courses and things. But it did go to wonderful sort of venues, you know, like Sandringham Estate and Leeds Castle, all of that. But it was still set in a tent. But still, trying to make that theatrical now, sort of like a tryout.
It's like Brian Conley and Darren Day.
Brian Conley and Darren Day. It was fantastic. I loved it, because I got to use all his music, you know, and of course, Love on the Rocks, Darren Day sang that, and I thought brilliantly, because of the acting in it, and we made him go back to his old days, you know, of being an absolute drunk,
lush,
yeah, and complete bastard. And
which he isn't anymore. We hasten
no,
to add.
No, he's not. He's not wonderful. And he really played all of it so brilliantly. And then we followed it with "You Don't Bring Me Flowers," but sung by a girl about him, and it was just great. It was just fantastic to be able to get my hands on it. And of course, "Love on the Rocks" was the first ever pas de deux I ever did, so it has a significance.
In Australia?
Yeah, in Australia, yeah. When I was training in classical, I did a classical pas de deux to it, and that was my first one ever. So.
So and we also have the original demo for "Scotch on the Rocks" as
yes,
well. Yes,
I mean, a lot of people don't know that "Love on the Rocks" was originally called "Scotch on the Rocks," which then led me to think of Darren Day, which then led me to the type of direction I was doing, but it's just something that you can't quite believe, actually, when you hear it. You know, you hear a little bit of "Love on the Rocks" and then "Scotch on the Rocks," the original, you think, oh, thank God they changed it, really.
Well, let's hear a compare and contrast.
Yeah.
First of all, "Love on the Rocks," and then we'll follow it with "Scotch on the Rocks."
Such a great song, that. I mean, that, what I love about Neil Diamond is the fact that he's always a beginning, there's always a middle, and there's always an end to each song.
A story.
A story,
yeah.
I love that. And that's why the staging of it takes care of itself.
Yeah.
You know, I'm never lost for an idea until I heard this next piece.
"Scotch on the Rocks."
Yeah. Mad, isn't it? Completely mad. You think, how did that happen? But the producers didn't like that version, so they took all the other stuff out and just made him re-record it in a different way.
I just have to ask you, what was your question when on the TV show?
Oh, it was asking him whether or not he danced with Lady Di, and how was it? Yeah, which was just amazing. You know, he just loved it. You know, that's I think why they asked me. Of course, I did sort of preempt it with my pas de deux and all that stuff.
Yes,
you know, but it was great. It was great because my mum saw that program in Australia, which was fantastic. And of course, I never told anyone really that I was going to it and stuff. So
yeah,
it was good, very good.
So I mean, that show, the tour shows that you did in Tents recently, there's a possibility that it may come back.
Yes, I'm trying to theatricalise it and set it in a pros, you know, because I think it deserves it. You know, I think it has legs. I loved it, and I didn't get bored through it. You know, there's some shows I've done where I go, "Bar, darling, this point, come back in for the next bit," you know. But with this, I was sort of gripped, and I was amazed at how many people would get up and dance and...
Yeah.
How loved the music is.
Yes.
And it was what's interesting about doing it in this form, in a story-ish type form, but there's concert, is the fact it's not Neil Diamond. So you
yes.
listen to the music and the lyric a little bit more, because I think we're so used to hearing Neil sing his own tunes,
yes.
as he's doing now. I mean, he's doing now. It's a bit sort of bizarre having the show that I've created
yes.
and him running concurrently. It's a bit weird, but...
Yeah.
But it adds new life, I think, to his music and drama. Because you never see that in one of his concerts.
Yeah.
He's just on a stool playing guitar generally, so you don't normally get any of that sort of story.
So meanwhile, next up you've got obviously Strictly coming up, and
yeah.
then the Panto. And then there's a possibility of another show at the Newbury.
Oh, yes. At the moment, I'm working, this will horrify anyone that loves opera, but I'm working on a sort of Gaga-esque version of La Traviata with Sarah Travis. And this is going to be our first attempt at real bastardization, darling. And I can't wait. We've had like little workshoppy things, you know, down at our home around piano, where it all, you know, over a drink sounds wonderful and we think it's great. But we're going to do a workshop of it in August and then hopefully, well, do it at the Waltonville. Yes.
But before that, of course, we've got Chess going to Toronto, Chess, and then hopefully with
yes,
the West End.
Hopefully the West End. After Panto, I then direct the Strictly Come Dancing tour.
Right.
The live tour. Hopefully I won't be dancing in this one, just judging. That was a bit of a headache, I've got to say, the direction of all of that, because it's on a broad scale. Then I'm doing La Traviata, the real La Traviata, with 400 opera singers in Amsterdam, and that is going to be opening a new Amsterdam arena.
Right.
So it's a massive arena tour that I'm directing and choreographing.
And so meanwhile, and on to our last song, we welcome Caroline back for a song from Chess, Someone Else's Story.
Absolutely, so pleased that the American version happened for that song to be
added.
Added, absolutely, absolutely.
On that note, thank you very much, Craig. Just to say a little commercial break. There's a wonderful CD that Caroline has. Her first solo CD is on sale on your way out. Caroline will sign it for you too. I wrote the liner notes. I won't sign it. There's also a book, The Royal Wedding Dress, which is published by the TTG, which is a whole bunch of brilliant theatre designers all did what they envisaged Kate might have worn if they had their hand, if it was their job.
Yeah,
so you can buy that
one in there is quite extreme.
Yeah.
It's worth it for just that.
And we're here for the rest of the week till Saturday. Tomorrow night is Bill Kenwright. So hope you will come back and see us again another night this week. Thank you all very much.
Are we off, darling?